Welcome to Inner Star Compass Healing Podcast, where I bring to you notes of hope for your healing. This platform was created to bring agents of change together to collaboratively talk about the different modalities and options for optimal health. Integrative health is more than a prescription. It looks like you empowering yourself to have the autonomy to select the nutrition that feeds your mind, body, and soul. The contents on this show and website are for informational purposes only and are not a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, and or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified medical provider with any questions you have regarding a medical condition. And before undertaking any diet, taking any dietary supplements, exercise, or other health programs. This is Aletha Williams coming to you for another great, great podcast. Stay tuned.
Good afternoon, everyone, and good morning in Australia. I have with me the beautiful Sarah Elise. But before we even start this, you guys know I like my cheer dance. So we're just going to have to invoke this energy that we want to surround this audience with. So, Sarah, are you ready for your dance-a-thon?
Let's do it.
Guys, that is just beautiful. You can tell she won. I don't think I won that one. I think Sarah won that one. So guys, welcome. Hi, Sarah. How are you?
I'm great, darling. Thank you for having me. It's an honor to be here.
Oh, ditto. It's a pleasure to be in the same space with you as an agent of change. And as I mentioned in my intro, I just absolutely love having agents of change who are out there doing the healing, the work to help people heal. And Sarah, what you're doing, I've watched so many of your videos in the past 2 days just to see who and what you do and how you operate. And I'm just enamored at how well you're doing it, and you're doing it well. And so without further ado, guys, I would love to just read a little bit about who she is. So if you didn't read the bio, I'm going to read it to you now because it deserves she deserves that recognition of all that she's done and is continuing to do. So Sarah is the sacred embodiment of sexual expression and a visionary in the space of sacred sexuality and conscious relating. Her journey of overcoming her own toxic patterns in relationship and intense intimacy led her down the path of becoming a sexuality and relationship educator and coach. She is the host of Australia's premier sex and relationship event called Entitlement in the Bedroom in her community on the Sunshine Coast, Australia. This event gives you an opportunity to discover a new world of sexuality and relationship beyond cultural conditioning. Being the hottest multi-speaker event, you will learn all the things you were never taught about sex ed. With over a decade of facilitation experience, Sarah's journey started with an extensive career in tourism, where she guided people through some of the scenic places in Australia. She came to realize the people she toured with were not coming back at the same as the same persons they were prior. This became an invitation to venture deep into the human psyche to see what else was possible for us all. In search of deeper meaning, Sarah traveled the globe in search of the deepest mysteries of the human mind, body, and spirit. She became increasingly fascinated with alternative therapies and studied holistic counseling, crystal therapy, Reiki, Kundalini dance, and finally has spent the last few years studying Tantra and somatic therapies. Journeying deeply into her own body awoke her power, pleasure, and purpose and activation, and activated a deep calling to share the work of reclaiming our sexual innocence and rewiring our nervous system to feel safe in our bodies and our relationships. Sarah shared her personal experience as a sexually empowered woman to help free people from a dull and disempowered life through one-on-one coaching sessions, educational events, and transformative temples, workshops, and online programs. She works with women, men, and couples, supporting them with a range of issues from sexual dysfunction, challenges with the libido, numbness, overcoming intimacy fear, shadow integration, and relationship conflicts. She is dedicated to ushering in a new paradigm of empowered relating, free from conditioning and generational trauma. She desires to live in a world where sexuality is integrated and respected as the powerful medicine that it is. In today's podcast, Sarah and I will discuss a new paradigm of sex and relationship. Wow, wow, wow. There is so much from that in itself that we can talk this entire hour with. And so, Sarah, we want to make sure that we stay on topic. And so I'm just going to start out with one question, and then the dance of listening and asking the question will begin. In your bio, you mentioned that you've been studying Tantra and somatic experiences. Can you tell us what Tantra is and how it applies to sex and relationship?
Yeah, great. So Tantra is an ancient philosophy that come from India, like 5,000 years ago. But in the West, so Tantra over in the East, over in India, includes many different things that actually come from like a big thing of scriptures. So really ancient scriptures. Tantra doesn't exclude anything, including sexuality, including our sexual energy. So in the West, it's mainly focused around the sacred sexuality aspect of Tantra. So I've more studied the Neo-Tantra path, which is, you know, Tantra in the West. So yeah, there's like, and you know, there's many different aspects of Tantra. So it's really, I won't go into it. This could be a whole hour chat on its own.
Right.
Essentially, it's about connecting to our sexuality with, or connecting to the divine through our body, yeah, and through our sexual energy, and moving that in our body to not only have an embodied experience of God, but to heal and evolve as a human. Yeah.
Can you expand a little bit more on that embodiment? It's almost like a somatic, like, you know, soma means body, right? Yeah. So to have that body experience, can you talk a little bit more about this embodiment?
Yeah, sure. So it's probably almost like a bit of a buzzword now. It feels like everyone's sort of getting into embodiment, which is great, because you know, as a species, we've been very disconnected from our body. You know, as a child, we come into this world like fully anchored in our body and connected to, you know, that sensory experience. And we're really just responding from that, you know, like look at a young child. They cry when they're sad, they run around and they have like a full free expression of their joy and their pleasure. And they're just completely following that guidance system of our body. And that starts to become conditioned out of us. You know, at a young age, we're told to go to school and to stop emoting and to stop playing and to sit and listen all day and basically to stop feeling and start thinking. Yeah. And we start Yeah, really just concentrating on developing our mental, the mental aspect of our being. And often in the, you know, while we do that, we're disconnecting from feeling, from emotions, from our body. And yeah, it's such a shame because our body and our emotions, they're it's all, you know, our sensations and our emotions are all trying to lead us and guide us. Yeah. And so embodiment is really about coming home to that, coming home to our body, coming home to our pleasure. And yeah, the embodiment I do in my business is called Sacred Embodiment. So it's really about connecting to, as I mentioned before with Tantra, connecting to the divine, connecting to our soul, connecting to that something that's greater than our human from an embodied place. Yeah.
You know, as you talk, I start thinking about how most adults have experienced adverse childhood experiences that have traumatized them into believing, creating a belief system that is completely not even logical. So they've created this belief system and their behaviors and their thought patterns are based on this. And so when it comes back to sexuality, society often shames people when they are in touch with their sexuality, in touch with the pleasures that comes from sexuality. But I want to talk about the fact that sex is just not the physical part about it. Let's talk about what we're trying to achieve here.
Yeah, so most people just see sex as this physical action between two or more people, but you know, sex is so much more than that. Sex is also an energy. Yeah, so people may have heard of life force energy or erotic energy. And so this is our sexual energy, which is produced in the body when we become aroused. And most people only really know how to produce that in our body through touch. Yeah, but we can produce it or cultivate it in our body just through presence, through breath, through breathing and sounding and moving our body. We're producing this life force energy in our body, and this energy is really healing. So as it moves through our body, if we consciously direct it through our body, then it can help us to release these old childhood patterns and conditioning and repressed, you know, emotional energies in our body, and can bring great healing for ourselves and our relationships and, you know, the greater society and the world.
Wow. You know, it goes back to that, that journey that says we need to be authentic, right? And how can we be authentic if we're not in touch with our emotions and our energies that are flowing in our body? And so going back again to sex and how we often push it aside, we actually don't even pay attention to it unless it's a physical thing, right? And so how do you get, when you're dealing with relationship and doing your workshop, how do you get someone who just thinks sex is all about procreating and that's it? You know, having pleasure and get it done and then go back to life. How do you reshift their mentality and their mindset into a new paradigm?
Yeah, it's a great question. Yeah, so a lot of people, we have a lot of trauma, right, and misconceptions around sexuality, because even as a child, you know, either overtly and sometimes even covertly, we're receiving messages constantly that, you know, it's not okay to fully be in our pleasure. It's not okay to touch our body in certain places around certain people. You know, there's so many messages about our sensual and sexual expression. And within our family, within our society, school, everything. And so we sort of grow up thinking that our bodies are dirty and shameful, and sex is only, you know, you don't talk about it. It's only something that you do with a loved one. And yeah, that's it, you know. And there's so much more to discover in this realm. It tends to be, it tends to be sort of like that last avenue of development that people tend to take. You know, people come into this personal development realm, and a lot of people will, you know, find spirituality and learn how to do things like Reiki and things like that. Or they'll find like NLP and they'll learn all the mindset things and how to shift their, you know, beliefs and things like that. And, you know, and sometimes people do the embodiment things, but usually it's in the aspect of like something like yoga that's really socially acceptable, right? But this is real linear path of, you know, of connecting to our body. And then generally, you know, the missing piece to all of it is actually like coming into the body and coming into our sex center and following the path of sexual development. Yeah, so I think a lot of the time when people come to my events and workshops or they work with me, you know, they're ready or at least really curious and ready to sort of lean into that uncomfortability around talking about sex. And unfortunately, a lot of the time when people come, you know, to when people come to like my events and things like that, it's generally because they either have a lot of sexual shame or trauma, or they have sexual dysfunction or some sort of issue, right? And, you know, it's like a lot of people don't really seek help until they really need it, right? And same with change. A lot of people don't change until it's too painful not to change. So, yeah, as I said, it's like a lot of people come to work with me who are kind of ready, at least.
Yeah. And, you know, I think Abraham Hicks used to say, don't wait for the condition, or I think Joe Dispenza also says this, don't wait for the condition to happen before you shift your mindset. And so don't wait for your relationship to go sour before you go and say, okay, I need help. Because I think everybody should have this felt experience of how energy flows through our body. And that is coming from our root chakra and our sacral chakra, which is the safety and the pleasure centers. And when we push it aside, we're actually ignoring parts of us that is trying to speak, and we're not even letting our body speak. And so when we talk about this embodiment, is so important to understand that when we talk about embodiment, we're talking about ourselves putting on our oxygen mask on first, right? And having this felt experience of how the energy is shifting, and then you go into a relationship, even just a relationship with your parents, a relationship with your, you know, for me, my kid, my son, how our energies flow and how we can work around the energies that are shifting, but being honest. And you can't be honest if you're not feeling the energy moving through your body, right? So yeah. I guess what I'm hearing you say that it's this felt experience and the shift, it helps shift how we view our partners and others that we have relationship with. Am I hearing that right?
Yeah, we're in relationship with everything, you know, every aspect of our being and every aspect of life, including money and, you know, animals and everything. You know, we are in relationship with everything. And it's just so interesting to me that people do not prioritize learning how to relate, you know, and it even blows my mind that this is not like, you know, conscious relating and sexuality is not a subject that we learn at school, right? That's a whole nother talk as well. But yeah, it's really important. But I can see why a lot of people, a lot of people resist being in the body, right? Because we've been out of the body and developing the mind and the intellect for so long that we actually hold a lot of trauma in our body. Yeah. So, you know, every time we have pain, that is like it, you know, whether that's a headache or like we've stubbed our toe or something minor or something major, like we get ill, it is trying to teach us something. It is there trying to show us something. It's trying to say, hey, you're facing in the wrong direction, or this aspect of your life is not in alignment. Yeah. And so, you know, if we're just continuing to ignore that and we're not actually here seeing the greater spiritual lessons of everything that is unfolding in our reality, then we keep pushing and we keep going in the same direction until we're forced to stop and we're forced to reassess our life and consciously choose another way. So, you know, a lot of the time when people start to come into their body, it's really uncomfortable because they have to face all of those things, all of those parts of themselves, all of those old pains that they've been denying, that they've been running from for their whole life.
Yeah.
So, you know, but this is the beauty of sexuality, like an intimacy. It brings us deeply into our body. And people are missing the point when they just have sex and they're just constant, that they're so, they have this goal-oriented sex where they're just concentrating on their pleasure center, their genitals, and they're just fully focused on orgasm, right? Mm-hmm. And I can see why, because if they don't, and they actually bring this energy to other parts of their body and they focus and they sort of ride that wave of sexual energy, then they may discover some uncomfortability or pain in their body as well. Yeah, it's not just pleasure in our body. There's also discomfort and pain as well. Wow. And yeah, we can't really deny that if we're wanting to fully evolve and, you know, learn to have these conscious, healthy relationships and change our relationship to our sexuality.
Oh, I totally agree. So what is your recommendation for someone who just says, I'm afraid of feeling those pains? I don't want to feel them, but I do want to feel this pleasure that you talk about that's moving in your body. And some people call it a kundalini awakening. Some people call it an orgasm. But it's an energy life force that even just looking outside for me brings me this movement of energy that's of love that's flowing into my body. And some people are not able to be that sensitive to that connection. So how do you tell someone who's afraid of going back and really feeling? How do we get them to get there?
Well, firstly, I'd probably say to them that their capacity to feel their pain is mirrored in how much pleasure they will feel. Yeah. Mm. So we can't numb out to our pain and expect to feel pleasure. It doesn't work like that. If we're not in our body and we're resisting our pain, then we're also resisting this full-bodied orgasmic pleasure that we speak of, right? Mm. So yeah, you need to be willing to feel it all. Yeah, if you want to feel the pleasure, if you want to have this experience of this divine, you know, orgasmic life force energy moving through your body and rippling through your body, then you need to be willing to grieve and feel all of those things that you have been denying. Yeah. And yeah, firstly, I just want to say, like, also, I get it. I get that it's hard. I get that it's scary to feel. It's something that we've basically been modeled to run from pain and to chase pleasure. But often the pleasure that we're chasing is we're chasing this external pleasure. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We're chasing this, like, let's just like get high on sugar, or let's, you know, just go from relationship to relationship because it feels good. We're chasing these short-lived pleasures. Yeah. And it's really just to escape our pain. But when we can feel into our body and we can be present with, you know, the discomfort, it wants to just be felt and acknowledged, and then it can shift. And actually, a lot of the time beneath that discomfort is so much pleasure.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. And so with that facing of that pain and just sitting with it, and I keep telling my audience when they listen to me, is I really encourage them to sit with the emotion. And then when you sit with it for a little bit and be quiet, then you ask it the questions, because your body is going to start evoking and telling you what's going on. And so what you're saying with this connecting to our sexuality is this trust, return of trust in our own selves. Because I know a lot of trauma comes with wounds, like mortal wounds that, such as betrayal or abandonment, that just wreaks havoc in our inside because our body keeps score. But from what I'm hearing you say is you feel safer and you trust yourself. The more you feel safe about feeling these emotions, the more you start trusting yourself so that you don't have to look outside for it, because it's already inside. And it allows you to connect more to others.
Yeah, beautiful. Yeah, it's exactly what I'm saying. Like, safety is an inside job. We chase these things like that we're told that are going to keep us safe in this world. We go to university or college and we get that good job that we don't really want, but just because it's going to give us good money so we can buy the house and we can find the wife and or the husband and have the kids and have this the white picket fence and all of these things that society tells us is here to keep us secure. Yeah. But anything external to us can be ripped away at any time. Yeah. It's mutable. It's changing. It's forever changing. It's the only thing that we can really rely on is that our reality is going to constantly change. Yeah. So we can't rely on anything outside of us to change the way we feel inside. Yeah, so for me, this journey of like, let's call it self-pleasure, which is very different to masturbation. Yeah, masturbation is this goal orientated. I'm going for the genitals and I'm going to touch myself until I climax. Where for me, self-pleasure is just about being present to my body, to what is moving inside of me. Yeah. And sometimes that may be like, there may be emotion come up. Sometimes I might cry. Yeah. Sometimes I might feel anger arise and I can express that. And sometimes, you know, I move through that and then I drop into this deep pleasure. And it's just about, you know, being like there for myself.
You know, in poetry, they do this, they click and they're saying, right on, keep on going, keep on saying it, because you got me right here in the soul, what you're saying. And that is so true. And gosh, I want to talk some more about this pleasure, because it comes with a struggle of your divine masculine and your divine feminine. And how do we try to find balance between the divine masculine and divine feminine? First of all, some people don't know what it is. So can you kind of expand a little bit about what you think about this duality that's inside of us with the divine masculine and divine feminine?
Yeah, so the divine aspects of the masculine and feminine are talking about, you know, the godly aspects of these you know, dual energies within us. So I personally connect with the divine masculine as the universe, as, you know, this energy of like the sun or the stars or God, you know, and the divine feminine I commune with as the energy of the earth. Yeah. And so we all have these masculine and feminine energies within us, whether we're born into a woman's body or a man's body, we still have these different polarizing energies within us. And women tend to, 80% of women tend to have a stronger feminine core essence, and 80 to 90% of women and men have a this core masculine essence, or a stronger sort of masculine. But it's not always the way. But the masculine, well, really the masculine is about this like presence and holding space. The masculine creates this container for, which is like the presence, and the feminine is like the experience. She's like the sensuality, the expression, the creativity, the love. And that's a whole nother talk in itself. I hope we can talk about that for a whole hour, but really, like, this path of inner union, as I like to call it, I share it in my work a lot, is a journey of bringing these different energies within us into harmony, into balance. Because what's happening when we're in, most people are going about life and relating in very unconscious ways. Yeah. So we're attracted to another human being who tends to have a different polarity to us. So let's say I have a lot of feminine energy, I'm going to be attracted to a man who holds a lot of masculine energy. Yeah. Because perhaps I haven't yet cultivated that energy within me. So we're always seeking this wholeness. Yeah. But we search for it externally, because we don't know that it's really about finding the balance within. Yeah. And it's like that old saying, it's like, oh, my other half. Other half. Literally, it's their other half, because they're not a whole person. They haven't cultivated all these energies. They're denying a big part of themselves. Yeah. And they're searching for that wholeness externally. Yeah. And this journey of this, what we're speaking about, this new paradigm of sex and relationship is about, you know, coming within and cultivating these different energies within us. And that doesn't mean that I have to be equally masculine and feminine, and my partner can't be masculine and they have to be feminine. And like, it doesn't mean that at all. It still means that I can still express more feminine energy if that feels more natural to me. Yeah. But I'm not looking for wholeness externally, because I know that I still have my inner masculine holding my feminine.
Nice. So this owning all of us is so important. That's one of the messages that you're sending out in to your clients and to your audience is we need to own all of us and not rejecting any part and seeing each part and feeling it and honoring it in the space that it's in until the movement of energy pushes what needs to go, right?
Totally. Yeah, I'm all about alchemy. And to me, alchemy alchemy is like transmutation, right? Mm. So it's like taking I'm sure most people have heard of the term alchemist or alchemy, where it's like in the physical sense of transforming like base metals or something more dense and heavy into something lighter or something of more value, you know, transforming the base metals into gold. So it's the same. It's like we are alchemizing through being in our body, through connecting to this life force energy within us. If we're willing to actually feel it all and we're willing to come apart in a sense, then, you know, we're going to tap into this this alchemy, as I speak of, which is this transformation. But nothing can alchemize and transform and change until we learn to love the thing that we want to change, which is like the great cosmic joke, right? Okay. It's so like until we find acceptance, until we're not denying something because we perceive that it's bad, until we learn to let go of these labels of good and bad and just accept what is, then that thing that we don't like about ourselves or others, you know, can only in that energy of love will it transform.
Well, what about when other people label you? So for instance, if you're in a relationship, I was in a very toxic relationship, and he would try to transmit his issues onto me by saying things, and I would call my divine masculine definitely protecting me by saying, no, that's not actually true. I'm going to stand up for myself. But when someone in a relationship or even just at work, when they label you as, oh, she's the quiet one, or she's the B-I-T-C-H or whatever. So what happens when somebody else is trying to create this image of who you're not? How do you reference yourself again? And I think it's really important that if you were already connected to all parts of you, then you can actually go back in and say, is that true? And ask yourself, what part of you is showing that, right?
Yeah. Yeah, like you said, it's really about knowing ourselves, and knowing all parts of ourselves. So not resisting and not attaching either to any aspects of our persona. It's like being in this place of, you know, not resisting or not attaching and just being okay with what is. But when we know ourselves, then we're not going to be so easily manipulated, right? Yeah. But I think for me, it really depends on whether that there is an emotional charge around that external judgment. Yeah. Mm. So if someone in my field says, hey, you're a total bitch, you know, and I get triggered, like I have a strong charge of emotional energy in my body, then there's healing there for me, you know, because people want to resist, like people resist these uncomfortable conversations and they change the way that they express themselves so they don't upset anyone. But actually, the gold is in the trigger. Yeah. And so if someone called me a bitch and I had actually owned that part of me that can sometimes be a bitch, because let's face it, we all have that inner mean girl or that inner mean boy or that person that can be judgmental or bitchy. You know, if I'd owned that within me, I probably wouldn't get emotionally triggered. I'd be like, oh yeah, cool, whatever. Like, I don't agree. I'm not being a bitch, but it's not going to upset me because I'm not personalizing it. And I've worked on that part of me who, I've owned that inner bitch, right? But if someone calls you a name or judges you or puts a label on you and you get triggered, then one, possibly there's some truth there. Possibly there's a part of you that is that thing, you know, or hasn't owned that part of you. Or perhaps, you know, there could be many reasons why you get triggered, but there's always healing there. Whether it's, hey, actually, I don't want to deal with this. I don't want to put up with that because actually what I'm receiving here is abuse and I'm getting triggered because it's a feeling of anger arising in me so I can set a boundary. Hey, don't call me that because that's not very nice. You know, you I do not deserve to be treated like that. And I'm not going to put up with that sort of behavior in my life, you know. Or sometimes there may be some truth in it, or there may be some digging that you need to do. So yeah, be curious around how it makes you feel inside when people put labels on you or judgments on you.
Absolutely love that answer. That is so true. So that the art of curiosity pushes you further into this healing space within yourself. From my own personal experience, my divorce was very traumatic, but what it did for me, it made me realize that I'm a giver. So one of the archetype is I'm a giver, but I was forgetting to give to myself. So I forgot all about myself. And so when you show up in a relationship and you're just giving and forgetting about yourself, how can you get someone to start looking at themselves and giving and feeling? Forgetting how to feel, right? I forgot how to feel that central energy flowing through me. But now, oh my goodness, I'm so in love with myself. It's not even funny. We're going to talk about this, but I've had some full body orgasm just one time, just sitting here, and all of a sudden the love that was inside of me just boiled up, and all of a sudden my body just had this beautiful experience, and I just sat with it, and I was like, what was that? So, you know, falling in love with ourselves and going back inward is just so important. But for someone who's shy or very religious and think that that's a shame to do that, how do you get someone to really understand that that is something that's so empowering for yourself?
Taking care of yourself, is that what we're talking about?
Yeah, taking care of yourself and being okay to feel the sensations that show up.
Yeah. So this is very typical in women, right? Because it's the generally like this more feminine energy that's very nurturing and very much wants to, you know, care for other people. But often we do that as a way to escape our reality and how we feel and what we need. And often, you know, well, we grow up in a society, I don't know if it's the same over there, I can only speak for the way that, you know, I grew up and what's common in my community, is that we've always been told that we've got to be selfless as a woman. You know, we have to give and don't be selfish. And, you know, so there's this part of us that grows up sort of wanting to give so that we can feel worthy, you know, that we can feel like a good person. We're not a good person if we're not giving to other people, if we're not caring for other people. And like we said, you know, we often do that at the expense of truly looking after ourselves. You know, it reminds me of like the Mata. I don't know if you've heard of the Mata, and the new age sort of Mata is like the typical mother who's constantly giving, you know, constantly doing stuff for other people. And then she's like, oh, no one ever does anything for me. No one appreciates me. No one sees all the things that I do for them. You know, poor bugger me. It's almost like this victim energy. Yeah. But really, like, she's feeling like that because she's giving from this empty cup. She's overgiving. Yeah. And she's doing it to receive something in return that she's not receiving. She's doing it to be validated. She's doing it to feel good, like to feel like she's a, you know, worthy and to feel good about herself. And when she doesn't receive that back, she's like, poor me, you know, I do all this hard work and no one recognizes me. Yeah. So yeah, it's really like, I think you even mentioned like the oxygen mask. It's like, we can't care for anyone if we have an empty cup. We can't give from an empty cup. We'll end up burning out. And this is what a lot of women do, including myself. I've experienced extreme burnout this year because I'm just doing. I'm getting caught up in this, like, I'm like too much in my masculine, essentially. I've been too much in my masculine doing. Yeah, the masculine is more about like the embodied masculine is very much like this action taker and very like logical and rational and in the mind. you know, and in this society, you know, where women, where we're sort of losing those gender roles, I guess it's harder for women to spend a lot of time in their feminine, because we have to, you know, we need to put on our big girl pants and get in our masculine and go work and, you know, earn money for our family and whatnot. And we try to do that, and we try to be a provider, and we're trying to, you know, be in our feminine, and it's just too much. We end up burning out because we're not slowing down. We're not giving ourselves the love that we need. We're not taking care of ourselves. We're disconnecting from God, from the divine. We're so caught up in this, like, we just need to survive, and we're so stressed, and our nervous system is always activated, and you know, it's like we can't heal, we can't live like that. We end up burning out. So for me, it's like, as much as I can, I'm just remembering in the day to just soften my shoulders, soften my face. Just take a few minutes out and do some deep breathing, connect to my body. How do you feel, body? You know, what do you need right now to feel nourished? You know, maybe it's just a drink of water. Maybe I need to get up from my computer and go for a walk for 15 minutes. You know, maybe I need to sit and meditate or do some breath work. Maybe I just need some food. You know, I'm so business orientated and business savvy. I could just sit and work and work. And if I'm doing something that, like, I love, which I do love my business, and I'm creating something, I can get lost in that creation. And I'm like, far out, it's 4 o'clock. I haven't had lunch. You know, it's like, I'm so in it that I've even forgetting to, like, feed myself or go to the toilet.
So I absolutely love what you just said. So for me, I do this meditative practice before I even set foot out of my room, because I know I'm going to interact with my son, much less before I leave my home. Is this like, I realize that I am who I am. I'm this embodied person. Now I'm going to go out and connect to other people in the world. And so, and before that, though, I would just go out, and if I interacted with somebody that was negative, I would just hold it in and then drive away. And then this anger would flow up inside of me, because how dare they talk to people like that in this day and age? So the question I want to ask you is, in this new paradigm of pleasure and just really connecting to ourselves, what is the hope that you're asking us to focus on by connecting to our body?
Yeah, I was just thinking about that before. It's like, for me, and, you know, I can still call it Tantra. To me, I see Tantra as like, I'm breathing my body open. I'm fully anchored in my being and on the earth. I'm not up here just connected to spirit, just denying my emotions and my sexuality. You know, I'm fully anchored in my body, experiencing all of life, but also still have this conscious awareness, so I'm not fully lost in just the experience, right? I can see the higher meaning and purpose and lessons of all of it. So for me, this is a way of life. It's not just something that you do once a day or once a week or whatever. It's a way of life. It's like, can I be so deeply in my body, feeling this life force energy, feeling whatever that's moving within me, you know, and be doing other people. It's like, it's full bodied. I was gonna say awareness, but that's not quite the word. It's like, it's not coming to me, but it's like this, just living from your body. And that includes needing to have boundaries. You know, a lot of people that come into this spiritual realm, you know, they would probably identify as being like empathic. And I definitely did. And I used to thought it was like my curse, that I would feel everything all of the time, and I'd feel everything for everyone. Now I'm like, it's not actually my responsibility to feel other people's things. I can feel when there's tension in a room and no one's speaking about it. I can feel the uncomfortability of things. I can feel the blockages in people. I can feel a lot of things, and it's a gift. And I get to have boundaries on that. And I get to be like, I don't need to feel everything, and I don't need to transmute and clear everything in this room. And that's really just me trying to resist actually feeling the discomfort of that in my own body. Can I just be present to my body and how all of these feelings or these people outside of me make me feel, and let that move through me. You know, like you spoke about going to the shops and seeing people be rude.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then holding it in. It's like, that's what we do. We're like, oh, we can't express this. And oh, there's this anger moving through us and blah, blah, blah. You know, it's like, can we just, like, while we're experiencing that, put a hand on our body where we feel it and just be breathing into our body? Like when I go out, I'm always making noises. Yeah. I'm just like, I'm like sighing all the time, you know, making noises. And sometimes people look at me like, what's going on over there? Is she having an orgasm? Or like,
so let's talk about that. How can you express how can you acknowledge the energy in public without, you know, feeling ashamed of it? How can you express some sort of the fact that there's movement or resistance and there's not flow and you would like flow? How can you acknowledge how that you're trying to move it while you're out there in public?
I think it's just a process of just learning to stop giving a fuck about what, sorry about my language, but just not caring what people think, you know? Yeah. And the thing is, it's just our perception of how other people are judging us. We think that people are looking at us thinking that we look crazy. And hey, some people may, but my truth is actually those people that are walking around numb are the crazy ones, are the ones not actually fully living. You know, I was down the beach last night and I just had some music on and I was closing my eyes and I was like, just, you know, moving sensually and breathing. And it was interesting. I had my eyes closed for a long period of time and a friend of mine like just popped into my mind and I was like, oh yeah. And then I opened my eyes and she just walked past me and I was like, oh, I've got to love my intuition. And on the way back, she stopped and we had a chat and she was like, oh, it was so beautiful walking down the beach and just seeing you. And she goes, I could see you from a while, ages away. And I was like, oh, that's Sarah. And she's like, it was just so nice to watch you in your body. And I was like, oh, thank you. And I was like, it does cross my mind occasionally, like what people think as they're walking by me. And then I'm just like, but I feel like I'm just beyond that now. I'm just like, I don't care. It's not like I'm being overly sexual or offensive. You know, I'm just being in my body and moving my hips and just, you know, singing sometimes and making noises, you know, and the truth is actually, I feel like more people would have a positive experience of seeing that than negative, you know?
Yeah.
And if they get triggered and if they feel uncomfortable about that, that's because they're uncomfortable with their own expression. So that's a blessing in disguise for them. They may not see that and they're probably going to project that onto you, like that weirdo down the beach touching herself or whatever, you know. But it's just because they're so disembodied, they're disconnected from their own sexual and sensual expression. They're not liberated in their fullness, right? And they're going to get triggered by you being expressive. But the truth is, you know, people, sorry, you go.
No, you go ahead, hon.
The truth is, like, you know, when someone's in their body and they're full of that energy and that aliveness, like they're magnetic, like, you know, they're full of energy and people are more attracted to that in a positive way than a negative way. Yeah,
absolutely. I remember a conversation I had with some lady I met in, I used to go to the winery to listen to live music with my kids, but this lady came up to me and she said, I watched you and I watched you flirt across the entire room. I said, what are you talking about flirting? But the word flirting was her discomfort of what I was doing. I was literally connecting energetically with each and every person and dancing with the energy of each person. And then, you know, just literally shasaying and talking to everyone. And it's funny because that is where what we need to do as a society. We need to just connect with each other and allow ourselves to just, one, be comfortable with the unknown. I don't know how that person is going to react to me, but if the person is willing to dance with me in my discomfort, then there's going to be this movement of pleasure that might show up. And some people are going to be like, whoa, what's that? I absolutely love talking to older men because then you can see them coming alive and they're like, oh, this person is really making me feel good. And to me, that makes me feel good that my energy was able to bounce somebody's vibration up higher. And that's what we should be doing.
Yeah, that's what it's about. You know, and anyone's judgment on you, it's more about them than it is you. It's not about you.
That.
Stop personalizing it.
Yeah, I'm
you know, we want to make everything about us. It's like, and that's actually the more the selfishness of the ego, right? It actually wants to take everything personally and think that it has something to do with us. It doesn't have anything to do with you. What other people think of you is their own stuff. It's their inability to sit with those parts of themselves and to fully accept those parts of themselves, you know. And I just wish that more people would see this trigger or emotions arising as a positive thing, as it's actually here to teach us something.
Absolutely. So, Sarah, we have 10 minutes to go, and I really want you to summate what it is that you your message, your core message that you have when it comes to the new paradigm about sex and relationship.
Oh, there's so many.
bring it on. I'm ready. Yeah.
But I guess the one thing that's coming up, because I feel like we've spoke a lot about, you know, embodiment and emotions and being in your fullest expression and loving all parts of you and caring for you. And we've sort of touched on sexuality in that aspect of being just this full embodiment, right? This full body pleasure. But we haven't touched too much on, you know, relationships.
Yes.
And so what I feel that I'm really moving into now is like more of my work I'm working with more couples, and I'm starting to lean more into teaching conscious relationships. And for me, I feel like, you know, what I'm here to bring is I'm actually here to teach people how to actually love. Yeah, because we don't know what true love is, and we all feel so unsafe to fully actually like give and receive love and be in this deep intimacy and connection, as we speak of, you know, intimacy. It's like into me, I see, you know, intimacy is actually a mirror. It is here to show us these parts of ourselves that we are denying. And this is why relationships are so friggin' hard. Yeah, they're challenging. They are so, and even healthy ones. It's like there's like if a relationship is easy, you are denying. So like you are, what's the word I'm looking for? You are running from like and avoiding is the word I'm looking for. You're avoiding conflict. You're avoiding parts of yourselves, and you're not actually accessing the true gifts of your union and partnership, because any partnership is here to show us and teach us and help us to come back into wholeness and truth and love. Yeah, and I spoke a little bit about that before when we went into the masculine and feminine, how we're all just coming home, we're all just trying to come home to union, to wholeness, right? And we do that with another being. But for me, there's so many of us, and we sort of touched on, you know, how a lot of us experience some sort of trauma or pain, you know, as a child. And it's in that first 7 years of our life that a lot of our personality traits and beliefs and things are really anchored in. And, you know, and our core wounding, you know, like you said, it's like the betrayal and abandonment and things like that. And most of us haven't had like a full healthy upbringing. You know, most of us have had some form of, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? Uncertainty and conflict and trauma created in our younger years. And that plays out in our relationships. And so for me, a relationship is an opportunity to heal that, you know, but often, you know, it's hard because two people are not willing to really do the work in the relationship. So we just go about relating in this really unconscious way, and we sort of miss the point of it, and we just cause ourselves and each other more trauma and more pain, you know, and more things that we have to work through. But, you know, there's a real opportunity in a relationship to choose love, you know, in every moment, even when there's conflict, even when every part of our being is screaming for separation and wants to get away from the other person and wants to be right and wants to stay in our individuality and our separateness. Yeah, because the truth is, even though we want unity, we also want separation, because that's the duality of life, right? But how can we just be there for that part of us that is so afraid of love, that is so afraid of, you know, unity? And how can we be there and breathe into that and choose love? And sometimes choosing love is to actually choose separation, right? If we're in an abusive, toxic situation, choosing love would be choosing to have boundaries and to walk away. But a lot of the time when we're having, you know, we're just having conflict or an argument, we're so wanting to just be right, because if we're wrong, then this, you know, then we're not winning, then we're not succeeding, then we're not worthy. We create so much conflict because we just don't feel safe to be in full union all the time.
I was going to touch on that there. You know, I was going to say, what are your top four elements, prerequisites for a relationship going, you know, going beyond the conflict and going beyond the basics and the dullness? What are your prerequisites? And one of them for me is safety, feeling safe. Yeah. And so what would some other prerequisite be for a good healthy relationship?
Yeah, and the safety piece, we'll just go quickly into that because it's probably the most important, right? It's and many of us don't feel safe in relationship. We don't feel safe with our partner, like fully safe. But it's usually often has little to do with that person and more to do with our past wounding and our those core wounds. So safety is an inside job, as I spoke about. You know, we need to be creating that and cultivating that from within, but we can still feel like still our external reality can, things will happen that will constantly be triggering this feeling of unsafety or insecurity. And as much as, you know, as I said, it's our job to create that safety, but it's also our job to communicate what we need from our partner or the people around us for us to feel safe to be able to actually open and lean into love. So we get to ask for what we want and need. Sorry, what was your question? What the prerequisites?
What are four prerequisites to nurture a relationship? And for me, one of them is safety. And the second one is healthy boundaries, you know.
Yeah,
even healthy boundaries, but also being okay with being vulnerable, you know, expressing my vulnerability to my partner and communicating to him or about, you know what you just said triggers something, but I feel uncomfortable, but I really want you to be here while I work through it, kind of vulnerability. And oftentimes it's the male who refuse to show that vulnerability and that expressions of, because they don't want to hurt the feminine, right? And so
they feel unsafe in their feminine too, right? So they don't want to be, and men are told that they have to be strong and they have to protect, and in order to do that they have to disconnect from their emotions, and really, like, now we can flip that and say that actually true strength is in being vulnerable and feeling our emotions and sharing them with another person.
Absolutely. So those, you know, and then the fourth one for me is just unconditional positive regard, to look at the situation and to look at the person and say, you know, I still love you. I really want this to work out, but we have to be at this level where we're talking and not running. And we're actually sitting in the emotion and really being willing to live. I mean, you have to choose to live and to feel. You have to choose to feel in order for you to feel that sexual, that pleasure. And you know, people keep saying sex, but sex is not the physical thing. It's the pleasure that comes from our core, our first two energy center that says it's okay for it to flow more into our body and to connect to our heart and then flow further throughout our body. So if we don't acknowledge that our first two energy center is asking for stability and safety,
Yeah, for me, like a relationship is an opportunity to heal our insecure attachment styles and come into secure attachment. So if you haven't learned about secure attachment styles, I would recommend looking that up and, you know, getting honest with yourself around, you know, where do you fit? You know, are you more avoidant and afraid of love and commitment, or are you, when you get into a relationship, are you more needy and, you know, you're needing a lot from your partner, so you're more anxious? And often we'll polarize, or we'll be in relationship with someone that has the opposing you know, wounding or attachment style, because we're coming together to heal. So an avoidant person is going to be more attracted to an anxious person, right? And this is where these codependent relationship dynamics sort of merge.
Well, I have four simple questions for you, and then we have a little game at the end. Are you ready?
Yeah.
What has COVID taught you so far?
COVID, did you say?
Yeah. What has the event and the energies that has been created taught you so far?
So for me, this period has really been about like deeply coming into my feminine, deeply listening to my body, slowing down, and just being super present. I got really sick over COVID, not from COVID, but I got a couple of other viruses that, and I've burnt out. So for me, it's been just really deeply learning how to let go of needing to push and be in that paradigm of like overdoing and pushing, and learn how to, and actually sit with the discomfort of that you feel in the being, right? Learning how to actually like feel okay with doing nothing and just being and moving from that space, letting the action be inspired from the being.
Oh, beautiful. Here's another, your second of four questions. So how does intuition show up for you? Because, you know, you mentioned you're an empath, but not all empaths have the connection to their intuition. So how does it show up in that for you?
For me, mostly like a felt sense, like I'll feel whether it feels true for me in my body. But as I mentioned, when I said I saw my friend walk by and she popped into my mind, often it's just a message, or like it'll almost feel like a thought. But it's, you know, it's more, I call them downloads.
Yeah.
An open channel. I'm like, oh, I just had a download.
Wow. And your third question, it goes right into resiliency. How does resiliency show up?
Oh, that's a hard question. I feel like I'm naturally pretty resilient. I've always been someone that, is not afraid of truth, is not afraid to lean in and do those scary things. And, you know, with what I've attracted in my life, it's given me this great internal strength and resilience. You know, I can bounce back from anything really quickly because I have myself and I have my practices and I trust in God.
Amen. I love it. And so your final and fourth questions are rapid fire fun questions. There are seven questions. All I want you to do is don't even think about it. I'm going to give you two words and I want you to pick the first one that comes to your mind. And I'm going to split my screen here so I can see the questions. Are you ready?
All right. So I'm just saying whatever word comes into my mind, right?
Whichever the two words that comes to you first. Okay. Red or black?
Red.
Fire or water?
Fire.
Drums or piano?
Piano.
Cry or dance?
Dance.
Hug or shake?
What was the first one?
Hug or shake?
Hug.
Pretend or fake?
Pretend.
chips, potato chips or yogurt?
Potato chips.
Love or anger?
Love.
Oh, beautiful. I absolutely, absolutely love it. What I'm doing is at the end of the year, I'm going to create this ingredient pie of those seven questions and see where it all falls out. And it's just a fun game, but I absolutely love the play of it all.
Yeah, Sarah, I love how wonderful you are. It's great.
Sarah, what can you say to us before we say goodbye to you?
The first thing that's coming to me is just trust your instincts. Yeah, just trust trust how your body feels, you know, and trust that natural, instinct towards, you know, another human that comes into your life or, you know, an opportunity. If it just like, yes, straight away, like trust that, trust your inner voice and wisdom.
Well, Sarah, thank you so much for coming on for the 1 hour. And I'm so in awe of what you're doing. We would like to bring some of your workshops here to the States. So I'm going to have to be talking to you in the future about trying to see how we can do online connections.
Yeah, I'd love to do some online things.
It's so worth it. We're going to end up with our dance again. So you guys, have a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful day and the rest of your week. And thank you so much once again, Sarah.
Thank you for having me and giving me this opportunity to share to your audience. It's been fun.
Yes. Thank you. Cheers.
Oh, no.